nice day yesterday, able to get outside and do some yard work, and had a good time yesterday, I did. And today looks like it's going to be okay. I don't know what the temperature is supposed to get up to, and I wasn't listening when we just gave the weather forecast. But let's hope we have some good spring weather on our way. I guess the weekend is going to drop back down into the 50s, but we can live with 50s, I think. I walk just about every day. I walk about 2.25 to 2.5 miles every day, and hadn't cut my weight, though. Anyway, you'd think after a year of doing that, you'd lose some weight, but I just stay about the same. Anyway, after walking around on a treadmill all winter, it was really nice to get out. And I go outside just about every time. Anytime it's above 50 degrees, I'm outside, as long as it isn't raining too hard. If it's raining real hard, I don't go outside. But anyway, and that now that I'm doing this show on Monday, I get all dressed up, and well, I don't get dressed up. I take my shower and shave on Monday morning early so that I can come to the show and don't scare everybody out of the studio. But so usually on Monday, I'm already ready to go. So I don't walk on Monday because then I'd have to take another shower. So I don't do that. But anyway, I don't know why I even got into except for the weather is nice. And there are things going on in Marion now, and it's fun to see the buds on the trees and hear the cardinals in my backyard. They're kind of insistent that I get the dog out of the backyard occasionally, so they let me know that they're there. Today we're going to start I'm going to start talking about a little bit of bravery, something that I think we all need in this day of finger pointing. And we will go on to some what the lack of bravery has led us to. I also want to announce I have a guest that has agreed to come on. Now, we haven't set a date. I'm hoping either next Monday or the following Monday I'll have Mike Larson on. Mike became a friend while I was running for office, and he was helping Janet Garrett run against Jim Jordan. And Mike is a really enjoyable person to know. He got a political science degree from San Francisco State University, and so he's pretty knowledgeable about politics, which obviously you know I enjoy. Still with my cough. That was kind of a sidelight for him when he was younger. He has actually appeared on Jay Leno several times, and he's a comedian, a very good comedian. If you go to YouTube and type in Mike Larson, I think there's one or two of his Jay Leno bits on there, and you can see his bits. He also helped out, and I'm at a loss for her first name. Congresswoman Spears, Jackie Spears. He helped get her elected as congresswoman out in California. So he knows a lot about politics. He is left leaning, much like I am, but a very, very congenial gentleman. And we're going to try and have him on either this Monday or the following Monday, just talking about what brought him out here to he lives in Marysville, or actually he lives in Plain City, I believe. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about he wrote for Bill Maher for Real Time when Bill was doing that and was very successful there. So he's been pretty out there. He's kind of a jewel hidden down there in Plain City, a jewel as far as the celebrity goes. he is also a very nice man, and I really enjoy talking to him. Anyway, all right, what we're going to do, and I'll put it on my Facebook page when we're going to have him, I'll give you some forewarning. If you want to get on my Facebook page, just type in Glenn Coble, my Facebook page will come up, I think. Really struggling with this cough. I cannot shake it. Anyway, one of the things that I wanted to talk about this morning is about fear and what causes fear, how we know whether we're frightened, what we can do about it, what it causes us to do. So I looked up several articles about fear, and I pulled off a few of the tidbits that they gave me. One of the quotes that was in one of the articles was by Lao Tzu, and he's the guy, he's a Chinese gentleman who many years ago was a philosopher of all sorts of things. And he said, if you do not change your direction, you may end up where you are going. I love that. Being a progressive, that is really the basis of our belief that if you don't change your direction, you're going to end up where you're headed, and you might not be headed the direction you want to be headed. If you do not change your direction, you may end up where you are going, Lao Tzu. The fears that we get from changing our direction, though, tend to cause us not to change our direction. We fear the unknown because we can't understand what's going to happen. If you're going to change your job and you go like I did, I went from intercollegiate athletics into banking. And believe me, I was frightened of that. I'm not a scaredy cat. I don't get too frightened of things like that. I kind of found it exciting and a challenge. But a lot of people would find that fearful, changing a job from one completely different vocation to another. In athletics had virtually, absolutely nothing to do with being in banking. However, nowadays, it apparently has more to do with it than we would like to have it do with it. After our actress friends have gotten their children accepted by Harvard and Stanford and fancy schools via the money. That's one of the interesting, I was listening to a discussion on television, how the money so corrupts our politics, and also our capitalism actually changes the look of democracy, because it no longer is democratic if money is controlling everything. And money seems to have a pretty strong hold on America right now. It's not the America that our mothers and fathers knew back in the 40s and 50s. It's an America of big bucks, and I really have been trying to fight that. When I ran for office this last time, running for state representative in this district, one of my big causes was to fight the corruption and corrosion of money in politics. And I hate to say it, but even those people that want to get money out of politics are raising millions and millions of dollars to get elected. Now, I know they're saying, I'm going to raise the money so that I can change the rules, but they're still falling victim to the money corruption. But the fear of unknown and not knowing what's going to happen to you causes some fear in many, many, and I would venture to say most people. Nobody likes to run and jump off the edge of a cliff if they don't know what's below, you know. So that's one of the problems. A brain prefers predictable negative consequences over uncertain outcomes. Now, that was in one of the articles I read. Your brain would rather know that something's going to be bad with what you're doing than to be uncertain about what's going to happen. So if you know that if you lie to your mother when you take something, it's going to be bad, that's better than not knowing what's going to happen, but knowing that there is going to be some sort of retribution. So the brain prefers predictable negative consequences over uncertain outcomes. It's kind of like a clock that has stopped. It's always perfectly correct twice a day. Anyway, when it comes to dealing with change, research indicates that there are three primary emotions having to do with the change. The three primary emotions that we experience from change as human beings tend to be cynicism, fear, and acceptance. The first two are pretty negative. Cynicism and fear, both things are pretty negative. And the latter is kind of neutral, acceptance. It can be negative, it can be positive. Acceptance, okay, I'll accept that this is going to happen. But there are no strong positive feelings that come to the surface when there's going to be a change. So that's why we kind of fear change all the time. Almost all people fear it to some degree. Whether you fear it with anticipation and excitement or fear it with anxiety and dread, two different ways of looking at the same coin. We admire and yet we fear change at the same time. We admire people that are able to make change. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was one of the most admired presidents because he changed everything. He changed a lot of things, but he changed them for the better. Or at least it turned out that way. And I'm certain that's the way he said it when people asked him why the change. They admire people like that. They admire the Steve Jobs, who changed our way of looking at telephones and our way of looking at internet and computerism. But they don't admire people like Hitler, who the change was negative, causing people to die and causing people to go off to camps and they don't admire change when it means negative stuff. One of the problems that comes up when there's change is people feel that they have lost control. Let's say you're an old guy like me and you sit around on your couch every day, watch the same shows all the time. And eat the same lunch, have dinner exactly at 5:45 every day, and do everything exactly the same way every single day. If somebody comes to you and says, we're going to make you go make widgets Tuesday and Thursday. And we're not sure what time we'll call you. Believe me, that loss of control will cause you fear that you can't believe. People like the simple routine so they don't have to think about it. They can sit there on their couch and enjoy what they've enjoyed day in and day out. Even though, as a retiree, I will guarantee you, I struggle sitting anywhere day after day doing exactly the same thing. My joy comes when we're going to take a trip by car to California to see my son and daughter-in-law. I look forward to that. That makes my life tick. I come into the radio show, which I have no idea. Well, I have an idea what I'm going to talk about, but I have no idea what the outcome will be, whether somebody will call in. Well, by the way, if you're interested in calling in, the number is 740-383-9944. Well, that's 383-WWGH, which is our radio call numbers, letters. Excuse me. Anyway, I like doing that sort of thing. And there are a lot of people that love the change. And the change keeps you thinking. I remember when I was a young person, I thought, what would happen if I ever was in an accident and I was a quadriplegic? Would I want to do away with myself, or what would? And I finally decided, as long as my brain was working and I could communicate some way, like on a chalkboard or through a computer or a typewriter or something like that, I would be okay. If I was just a vegetable, I would not be okay. But anyway, I think there are an awful lot of people like me. But I also think there are an awful lot of people that would like to do absolutely nothing. But I think most people that retire think that's going to be wonderful. And then they get out and find out it's not nearly as wonderful as they think. I think I mentioned to you last week, maybe a couple weeks ago, when I retired, I actually had to start going for some mental health because I didn't know what to do with myself. And I found myself getting angry and not really knowing what to do and where I was not treating my wife as well as I should. I would get short with her and that sort of thing. And the psychiatrist, she told me that I needed to have one day where I go out and do what I want to do and just get away from it all. So I started doing that, and I do that to this day. And I find that really kind of rejuvenates me. Another thing that a lot of people don't like about change, especially if it happens at work, is will it cause them to have to do more work? Now, usually change does cause you to have to do more work. And the reason why I say that is because you don't know how to do the task that you don't know how to do. So you have to learn, which causes you to be slower at what you're expected to do. And that will become routine as you go along and get faster and faster and easier and easier. But the initial change is going to cause you to have some anxiety because you're just not able to jump into a new position and do it as quickly as you're expected or as quickly as you'd like to be able to do it. A lot of your coworkers will not enjoy your change just because they expect you to be one way and now you have to be a different way, especially if you get a promotion to a supervisory position, nobody's quite sure, including yourself, how you're going to act when you're put into a position of authority more than what you had before. Bertrand Russell said, "Fear is the main source of superstition. and one of the main sources of cruelty. To conquer fear is the beginning of wisdom. And I've always kind of thought that. And one of the reasons why I consider myself an agnostic, or I'm not sure whether I'm an atheist or not, but one of the reasons why I look back on religion and I look at how we formed our religion, and it was words written down by men, and I will say men, because it was, there were no women in any position of authority back then, thousands of years ago, wrote things down that became the law of the religion, Christian religion I'm speaking of now, and it's true of most religions. They were passed down by oral generation, not even written down, so interpretation is free. And it was written down thousands of years ago. And you've played that game where you say something in one kid's ear and that person's supposed to pass the message around, and you get around about five or six people and then you ask what the message was. It has nothing to do with, or it has changed significantly. And that's what has probably, in my opinion, happened over the thousands of years. I also believe that we have added superstitions to our religious beliefs in order to control other people. One of the things that happened that was kind of corrupt, I won't say kind of corrupt, very corrupt, and it happens to be in the Catholic Church, and I have nothing against Catholic people, but this just happened to go on back in the Dark Ages when they were selling indulgences. And all that was was a way to control people and also to make some money, and the money helped control people. So these the superstitions were added to religion. Time of stretching people on stretching things to force them to give up their religion. All these things tend to make religion, in my feeling, kind of corrupted itself. The words were written down by ancient people who knew nothing of modern science. And so therefore, I find it a little suspect. I believe that to conquer the fear of that, I have to become wiser, like Bertrand Russell said. I have to learn more. And I think we should all try to learn. You can be a good Christian. You can be a good Muslim. You can be a good Sikh. You can be whatever religion you plan to go into, as long, in my opinion, as long as you keep your mind open to thinking. Think about things. When you hear something, don't accept everything as truth. When you hear something, question it. Find out the reason why it was that way. Find out why. Well, some of the miracles that we have in the Bible, they could have been commonplace things that would naturally happen in nature, but because ancient man didn't understand nature, they didn't. They assumed it was a miracle. Ancient man thought the earth was flat. At the time that they wrote parts of the Bible, they thought the earth, well, most of the Bible, they thought the earth was flat. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence in their thinking back then. But it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that you have to, if you believe truly in there is a God that runs the world, you need to find reasons why you believe that. You need to add to your knowledge of why you feel that. last thing about change that is a point, it's almost always risky. It almost always will change what tomorrow brings for you. So a lot of people are frightened, and people fear the uncertain, and they fear the failure that may come along. Another thing that people don't like about change is they're afraid they're going to be ridiculed. Now, you know, it's not fun. I've lost a lot of hair, and for years I wore a stocking cap so that people wouldn't see that I was losing my hair. I was afraid of being ridiculed, which if I really thought about it, and now this is kind of the way I think about things like this, is why should I care what other people think of my hairline? Now, when I was younger, it had something to do with sexual relationships, image, that sort of thing. But at my age, I don't need to worry about too many of those things. And also at my age, I realized most people didn't care. I thought they cared how I looked, but most people did not care how I looked. And even I've talked seriously with my wife, especially with the movement of the women's programs now. I've talked with her, and women do tend to think, not all women, but a lot of women tend to think in different terms than men think, especially about that sort of thing. We talked about losing control, and we all fear that. You want to have control. You don't want to be inadequate either. That's another thing that will help frighten you away from change. I read it in one of the articles I was reading. It said, we fear being happy. And I thought, what in the world does that mean? Well, this is what it means. Sometimes we feel guilty about feeling great. That's why we stick to sameness rather than exploring progress. The guilty of feeling that you get when something good happened to you and something bad happened to somebody else, you feel a little guilty about that. I think that's stretching it, but that's what the book told me. Fear, this is a Japanese proverb. Fear is only as deep as the mind allows. So you are a master of your own fear. You think, and therefore you are. And if you're thinking, then you can control your thoughts. And I believe that that's what they mean, the Japanese proverb means. And so if we can control our own thoughts, I'm going to bounce off a little bit. Also in that same article, there were four things that we need to do. Don't let fear paralyze us. Build on successful experiences. When you've changed and it's been good, build on that. Promote your own curiosity. That's one of the things I've always been lucky. My parents really pushed me to be curious. And sometimes I got my finger slapped. But and also, start when you get some momentum. You change for something and it starts to be good. Build on that goodness, the good feeling of the momentum. This has led me to one of my pet movements or pet directions that I try to go. And that is overcoming racism. I know that it's a sore point and a touchy point with a lot of people. I would venture to say that most people look at me as not too racist, but I look at me as a racist, and I don't think of myself as a racist all the time, but I do know that I notice the difference between a black person and a white person. And that's kind of racist. We should see each other as people, not as black people or white people. I also note when somebody has the characteristics of an Asian face. And I note it enough that that causes me to think of them in that identity. So therefore, I think of myself that way, and I try to fight that all the time, if I can. And I've been pretty successful fighting that problem, but not totally successful. So I really would like to find a way to help my friends fight racism. I have a friend who every time he sees me, he says, I know, I'm a bigot and a racist. And I usually nod my head and say, yes, you are. But I still like him. He thinks about things. Obviously, he doesn't think very deeply about that. But I'm afraid that we get to a point where if we aren't thinking about that, we allow ourselves to fall back into those old comfortable ways, the comfortable way of just seeing other people. One of the things it does for us, if we fall into that comfortable feeling, is it makes us complacent about change. And that's what we were talking about earlier. We need to be actively looking for change, moving forward, finding ways to make life better for everyone, not just ourselves. You do understand that little black babies love their mama just like little white babies do too. So that's one of the areas that I am going to continue to work on as a progressive. I guess that's one of the fields that I find I am most pulled towards. And a lot of people have asked me, and I think we talked about it on one of the shows, what is a progressive? What is progressivism? That's a hard word, first of all. Don't try to spell it. Well, it's like saying, what is progress? To some, it's the notion that, yes, this world is full of wrongs, and I must right them. That's what some people see. But on the progressive side, they look for social justice for all. And social justice for all means social justice not just for white, old white men like me, not just young white women who are running for office, not just Asian Americans, not just African Americans, not just people of different sexual motivations, people of that have been handicapped in one way or another. I guess that's not a good term, but disabled, I think, is the correct term. But the pursuit of social justice for all is what progressivism is. We looked that all of us can get ahead. All boats will rise on the rising tide, not just the boats that are in out to sea, but even the ones that are closer to the shore. All boats will rise on a rising tide. We can't ever go back to the good old days. We like to go back to the good old days. I remember the good old days. I often thought I'd like to go back to the good old days, but if you pick it apart, look back on the good old days. You didn't have as much money, or maybe you did, but there were you didn't have as much knowledge, or maybe you did. All of these things back in the good old days were different. The good old days were closer to World War II, when there was a heightened awareness of patriotism, a heightened awareness of anti-communism. And along with that, anti-communism also kind of bred anti-socialism, because Russia was called, what was it, the Socialist Republic. Socialism, as far as I can see, is what keeps capitalism moving on an even keel. Right now, we've gone, you know, the world tends to go in cycles, and it goes up and it goes down, and things come into favor and things go out of favor. And the things that were in favor for the last couple of decades are making money. There is a movie about it, and I can't remember the name of the movie, but where it glorified a lawyer, I believe he was a lawyer, who would do anything to make money, and money was everything. And we've gotten kind of to that point. Look at the people that we respect, or the people that some people respect a lot, and they're all filthy rich. Filthy rich is good in that it's called filthy. And being rich, rich like that, I was watching a show last night where the gentleman was worth $16 billion. Now, he was giving half of that away. He was giving half of that away to charity. Now, and I thought, well, that's really great. He's giving, if he's worth $16 billion, he's given $8 billion away. And I thought, well, how wonderful is that? My wife said to me, that means he still has $8 billion. Poor guy. Well, that's true. Money, though, has gotten to the point, and I will quote the Bible here, the love of money is the root of all evil. And I truly believe that. And I believe progressives are trying to find a way to pull all boats up on the same tide. We're trying to find a way that all people can be considered equal, not just Christians, not just the Muslims, not just the white people, not just the Asian people. All people are good people. There are rotten people in all of those categories, but there are also wonderful people. And I was brought up to believe that most people are good people in their heart. And I can honestly say most of the people I've met in my life, I liked. I have met people that I disagree with. But most people care about other people. They may not care. They may disagree with the way you stand on abortion, or the way you stand on gay life, or they may disagree with you on other subjects, whether the government should be bigger or smaller. But most people care about the human race, and that's what we need to face. Now, I know there are a lot of people that absolutely hate talking about the human race as us, but we are a part of the human race. Globalization really is one of those things that says we're all in this together. And I think globalization started when that astronaut took the picture of the world from when they were doing the moonshot. And he looked at the world, and you didn't see anybody killing anybody else. You didn't see any wars. You didn't see any famine. You just saw a beautiful blue ball. And the blue ball came from all the water that we're trying to destroy. And that's one of the ways that I really, that's what I think of as progressivism, is moving to the point where we can see the blue ball as good. Not some people are bad and other people are good. Not the division that we're having right now, where if you believe in Donald Trump, you're bad. Or if you believe in Elizabeth Warren, you're bad. Both people are have their good causes. Both people probably believe in humankind. Now, I will say that money tends to corrupt in itself. I think I mentioned this. There was a study where they stood at a street corner in California, and in California, you are required to stop if a pedestrian is crossing at a crosswalk. And they found that people that drove BMWs and Audis and Rolls-Royces and the really expensive cars tended to stop about half the time that the cars in the Chevys and the Fords and the old jalopies stop for those people. We all have to guard ourselves against the feeling of privilege. And I'll say one thing for sure. As an old white man, I do note that I feel the privilege of being an old white man. That's why I'm proud to be who I am. But I shouldn't be proud, because the only thing that made me an old white man was a young white woman and a young white man. And it doesn't mean that I'm better than anybody else. It doesn't mean that you're better than anybody else. We're all in this beautiful blue marble together, flying around the world, flying around the universe, and spinning on our little ball of marble at 1,000 miles an hour that we don't notice. But the ancient man who wrote the Bible, or part of the Bible, didn't realize that it was even spinning. We were thought to be living at the center of everything, and now we find out we are hardly at the center of everything. Well, anyway, I hope I haven't gotten up on that soapbox too much, but I want you to know where I stand, and I want you to be able to stand where you want to stand. But please try to find it in your soul to accept all people as people, not as people you want to do ill to. Hopefully in a week, or either next Monday or the following Monday, we'll have Mike Larson on. We'll ask him about some of those things. Mike has a very ingenious way of making things sound more humorous than I do. He's a good man, and I'm looking forward to having him on. Now that I know how to switch the phone, so when he calls in, I can put him on the air. So we'll try to do that. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed today. We're just about out of time. I'd like to invite you back for next Monday. I'm not quite sure what we're going to be doing, but we'll find something to do that will at least wake your little brain cells up, and either get you mad at me or get you to agree with me. You're always welcome to call in. And it's easy to remember. It's 740-383-WWGH, and that's our call letters, WWGH. Well, I hope you have enjoyed today. A progressive life is what I try to live, and that's the name of the show, A Progressive Life. You're listening to Glenn Coble.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
And then just
I just made up that answer.
Then onward and upward.
You're always a little bit miffed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same time, you have to look at yourself and see whether they're right or not.
Do you go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that? Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I think that nobody likes criticism, but sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is probably the question I've been asked the most since I did the interview with you back in October of 2010. Why did you finally decide to speak, and how did it come about that you chose me to do the first interview?
Well, Well, because you've been very kind, very fair. You don't jump in and attack me every time I open my mouth. I like that. And I think you're a fair reporter.
Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
This is Patty Wooster with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1